Ashtotra Sadda Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Asi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Anantagoda Vaishnavinda Ki Iskand Founder Acharya's Divine Grace Sri Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to Rishi Guru and Gauranga. Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Vibhadashmi Devakti Vedanta Swami Chiname Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vishnami Nira Vishesh Vishnami Vada Vishchachi Devi Sitara Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 11, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka, place text number 36. So I'm going to do something a little different this morning with regard to the verse, because if we study this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see there's some difference in the verse today from this section of verses. And it has to do with the meter of the verse, text number 36, compared to the meters in yesterday's verse and in the following verses. So I'm going to read the word for word, and then we're going to have Madam T with her melodious Sanskrit
Yes. Krishna Keshava is here, but then he couldn't sing it.
We've already arranged to have you sing it. So Krishna Keshava can also sing. Everyone can also sing. It's not that hard. But we went, as you said, sweet voice or something. A honey voice. So we want a honey voice to sing. No, we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam. As I said, we're doing something different. We're studying Srimad Bhagavatam a little differently. So, I didn't hear Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Didn't I?
I think you did.
Okay. So word for word. Udama, very grave. Bhava, expression. Krishnanam, exciting. Amala, spotless. Valguhasa, beautiful smiling. Vridha, corner of the eye. Avaloka, looking. Nihata, conquered. Madana, Cupid, or Amadana, the greatly tolerant Shiva, Api also, Yasam, ooze, Samyuha, being overpowered by, Chapam, bows, Ajahat, gave up, Amada, woman, who maddens, Uttama, of high grade, ta, all, yasya, whose, indriyam, senses, vimuttinam, to perturb, kuhakai, my magical feats, na, never, say ku, was able. So, can you intent? We'll know why after you chant.
Udama Bhava Krishna Mala Valguhasa. Vridhava Loka Nihato Madano Piyasa.
Yeah.
Chanting so nicely. There are a lot of Madhukantas here this morning. Just the point is that I was listening to Shivaram Swami giving a discourse on Sri Shikshastakam last week, and he was making the point that, and you probably know, but it's interesting to point out, that in the Shikshastakam, they're not all 1 meter verses. They're different. There's a mixture of them. And indeed, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find, as is the case in this series of verses we're studying right now, that different meters are used throughout. Now, scholars, etc., they use that fact to try to say that, well, somebody later added verses and things like that because it's in a different meter. And that way they've adulterated Srimad Bhagavatam. But Shivaram Swami is pointing out it's not a fact. Actually, the different meters, there are many different reasons why they're different meters. But one of the reasons is because it's a recitation, it's a talk given by pure devotees. And sometimes when describing the events or describing Krishna and his relationships with his devotees, different ecstasies come up. And so those ecstasies are expressed in different meters in the text for the speaker to relish, and also for all of us to relish. And so, particularly the subject matter that we'll be reading today in the verse, compared to the other verses in this section, give us a look at a more intimate dealing with the Lord with his devotees. All these verses, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport somewhere here, he takes these verses as a series of verses, and they describe Krishna's relationship with his wives. But today's verse, in this special meter, which is different, as they say, from those around it, we get a look at, a more intimate look at Krishna's relationship with his wives. And so therefore the different meter. And I just wanted to point that out. And so we'll read the translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Although the Queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were all spotless and exciting, and although they could conquer Cupid himself by making him give up his bow in frustration, and although even the tolerant Shiva could fall victim to them, still Despite all their magical feats and attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. Purport. The path of salvation, or the path going back to Godhead, always forbids the association of women, and the complete Sanatana Dharma or Vanashram Dharma scheme forbids or restricts association with women. How then can one be accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is addicted to more than 16,000 wives? This question may be relevantly raised by inquisitive persons really anxious to know about the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. And to answer such questions, the sages at Naimisharanya have discussed the transcendental character of the Lord in this and in following verses. In this and following verses, you'll note when we get to those verses, they're in a different meter. So some special thing is there in this verse today. It is clear herein that the feminine attractive feature which can conquer Cupid, or even the supermost tolerant Lord Shiva, cannot conquer the senses of the Lord. Cupid's business is to invoke mundane lust. The whole universe is moving, being agitated by Cupid's arrows. The activities of the world are being carried out on the sensual attraction of male and female. A male is searching after a mate to his liking, and the female is looking after a suitable male. That is the way of material stimulus. And as soon as the male is combined with a female, the material bondage of a living being is at once tightly interlocked by sex relation. And as the result of this, both males and females' attraction for sweet home, motherland, bodily offspring, society and friendship, and accumulation of wealth become the illusory field of activities, and thus a false but indefatigable attraction for the temporary material existence, which is full of miseries, is manifest. Those who are therefore on the path of salvation for going back home, back to Godhead, are especially advised by all scriptural instructions to become free from such paraphernalia of material attraction. And that is possible only by the association of the devotees of the Lord, who are called the Mahatmas. Cupid throws his arrow upon the living being to make them mad after the opposite sex, whether the party is actually beautiful or not. Cupid's provocations are going on even amongst beastly societies who are all ugly looking in the estimation of the civilized nations. Thus, Cupid's influence is exerted even among the ugliest forms, and what to speak of the most perfect beauties. Lord Shiva, who is considered to be the most tolerant, who also was also struck by Cupid's arrow because he also became Lord Shiva, who is considered to be the most tolerant, was also struck by Cupid's arrow because he also became mad after the Mohini incarnation of the Lord, and acknowledged himself to be defeated. Cupid, however, was himself captivated by the grave and exciting dealings of the goddess of fortune, and he voluntarily gave up his bow and arrow in a spirit of frustration. Such was the beauty and attraction of the queens of Lord Krishna. Yet, they could not disturb the transcendental senses of the Lord. This is because the Lord is all perfect, Atmarama, or self-sufficient. He does not require anyone's extraneous help for his personal satisfaction. Therefore, the queens could not satisfy the Lord by their feminine attractiveness, but They satisfied him by their sincere affection and service. Only by unalloyed, transcendental, loving service could they satisfy the Lord, and the Lord was pleased to treat them as his wives in reciprocation. Thus being satisfied by their unalloyed service only, the Lord reciprocated the service just like a devout husband. Otherwise, he had no business becoming the husband of so many wives. He is the husband of everyone, but one who accepts him as such, he reciprocates. This unalloyed affection for the Lord is never to be compared to mundane lust. It is pure transcendental. It is purely transcendental, and the grave dealings which the queens displayed in natural feminine ways were also transcendental because the feelings were expressed out of transcendental ecstasy. It is already explained in the previous verse that the Lord appeared like a mundane husband, but factually, his relation with his wives was transcendental, pure, and unconditional, unconditioned by the modes of material nature. Om Agyanatimarandasyaganandjana Silakaya Chakshinimitam Yena Tasma Sri Gurave Nama. So look into the transcendental world of relationships between men and women. Prabhupada here notes that it's a legitimate question to ask why Krishna had so many wives, 16,100. It's a legitimate question to ask, or he calls it it's relevantly raised by inquisitive persons who are anxious to know the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. So we should be prepared somehow or another to answer this question. Why did Krishna have 16,108 wives? Many years ago when I was doing the American Library Association convention, annual convention, we had to get some money from the BBT in Los Angeles to set up our booth and with Prabhupada's books displayed and everything. So they wired some money by Western Union. And I went to pick it up. It was in Chicago. Now, when you go pick up money at Western Union, at least you used to, they asked to ask you a question that was like given by the sender to make sure you were the actual person. I didn't know this. This is the first time I ever got any money by Western Union. So I went there up to the window, and I told him who I was and when I was there to pick up. And he looked at me. He hadn't said anything. He looked at me and he said, "How many wives does Lord Krishna have?" Needless to say, I was surprised by the question. But I knew the answer. 16,108. Here, take the money. It's yours. Now, I don't know what that man was thinking about Krishna. But Prabhupada says it's a legitimate question to ask. Because generally speaking, we see that in this world, there's much trouble that's associated with the relationship between men and women. And of course, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, not only is it miserable, but even if it's not miserable, ashashvatam, it's temporary. That's just the nature of the world. And so, if one is controller, one is free from the miseries of this world, how is it that they can be the husband of 16,108 women? It's a legitimate question to ask, and it's an important thing to understand for us as well, because the word in the verses, pramada, woman, who maddens. In this world, as Prabhupada points out in the purport, man is looking for woman, woman is looking for man, and becomes a maddening experience. A maddening experience. And so what is the solution to this? It's very important that we have a solution that's not superficial. We can say that the solution is to get rid of all association between man and woman. But that's difficult. What percentage of the Varnashram system are sannyasis who completely renounce these things? Or brahmacharis? The amount of brahmacharis is big. But then as time goes on, it gets small. Those many enter the grihastha ashram. And so then there's vanaprastha ashram. And then sannyas, the number is still smaller that actually take sannyas. And so with a sleight of the hand say, get rid of the attraction between man and woman, is not going to produce, be that productive for the spiritual lives of most people. When the Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party met with Srila Prabhupada in Atlanta, 74, 75, I can't remember. February. They asked, well, Prabhupada indicated that most of you will get married. Do you know the exact exchange to do? Anyway, he indicated that most of the brahmacharis will get married. So that's not a fault if we understand what will keep us in devotional service, will keep us engaged in serving Krishna, even though there may be association of men and women. It's mentioned here in the purport how this attraction between men and women results in something. It results in tightening the material bondage resulting in attachment to home, bodily offspring, facilities, etc. So if we don't understand properly this relationship between men and women, then we'll become attached to wife, home, family, children, and the rest. And it'll act like a whirlpool. A whirlpool swirls around and takes everything down with it as it goes. So that's the result of not understanding. So therefore, why we should understand. And actually, in the first canto, there's another reference here. You know, the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, right at the end of the purport, Prabhupada gives a reason why we should understand transcendental sex life. He says, he's quoting Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically deals with the origin and pure sex psychology, adirasa, devoid of all mundane inebriety. That was the verse yesterday, inebriety, wasn't it? That was the verse. So here, Vishwanath Chakravarti are saying we should understand the relationship adirasa, devoid of all mundane inebriety. Prabhupada goes on, the whole material creation is moving under the principle of sex life. In modern civilization, sex life is the focal point of all activities. Where everyone turns his face, he sees sex life predominant. Therefore, sex life is not unreal. Its reality is experienced in the spiritual world. This is the point. Its reality is experienced in the spiritual world. The material sex life is but a perverted reflection of the original fact. That fact, the original fact, is in the absolute truth, and thus the absolute truth cannot be impersonal. It is not possible for impersonal and pure sex life. It's not possible to be impersonal and contain pure sex life. Consequently, the impersonalist philosophers have given direct impetus to this, to the abominable, mundane sex life, because they have overstressed the impersonality of the ultimate truth. Consequently, man, without information of the actual spiritual form of sex, has accepted perverted material sex life as the all-in-all. This is the distinction between sex life in the diseased material condition and spiritual sex life. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find descriptions such as today's verse of spiritual sex life. We have to understand what exactly it is. Otherwise, Prabhupada blames the impersonalists for causing the abominable characteristic of sex life in this world today, because they overstress the impersonal nature and not clearly given what Srimad Bhagavatam does, clearly given a correct understanding of what's the relationship between men and women. What is spiritual sex life? So this is, we get some glimpse of the answer to this question in the verse today, and seeing the dealings, the intimate dealings of the Lord with his wives in Dwarka. So the verse starts by saying that although the queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were spotless and exciting. Can anybody give a definition of furtive? You know what it means?
Huh?
Full of energy.
Playful?
Kind of, yeah. Kind of playful is there, but anybody else want to add something to that? Well, you would think. No PhD answers. Huh? Dictionary.
Attempting to avoid notice or attention, typically because of guilt or belief that discovery would lead to trouble, secretive.
Yeah, see, the thing is, the point I'm trying to make here is that furtive, we would think it's more, it means basically secret, sneaky, or secretive. Well, that's a more, that's a more secret understanding. But no, I was surprised actually when I looked it up that it didn't mean things that wasn't emphasized more coy or attractive, because that's kind of how we're used to hearing it. But it was more like secret, sneaky. It didn't have the. Anyway, it just didn't seem right to me. Especially if we look at the word for word in the verse, it talks about the coyness that Divyanga was talking about. Corners of the eyes is one of the verses, one of the words. Anyway, the point is that this verse and much of the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us insight into transcendental sex life. And so the main thing is, it's not based on lust. It's not based on lust. Lust means for myself. Love means to serve others. And so, what satisfied the Lord here? If we think that the Lord married 16,108 wives, and that the basis of his relationship was lust, that's why he had to have so many wives. It's like you see in the histories of this world and cultures all over the world. So many leaders, first thing they do is get a concubine. And they have so many women just to satisfy their lust. So that's the kind of thing that Prabhupada said is given up on the path of salvation back home, back to Godhead. So is Krishna like that? He was so lusty that he had to have 16,108 wives? No. Because it wasn't lust. Krishna's relationship wasn't based on lust. The gopis, but the wives here, they couldn't satisfy the Lord, it says in the purport. They couldn't satisfy the Lord based on their feminine attraction and furtive glances. It couldn't satisfy the Lord. It wasn't motivating him. His senses weren't agitated by that. But what got his reciprocation? Prabhupada puts in parentheses in the purport here. They satisfied him by their service, sincere affection, and service. So they weren't interested in themselves either. It wasn't lust. It was love. Service was given. That was the relationship between the Lord and his wives in Dwarka that's displayed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Reciprocation. Yayatam mampabhajante tam satari pajami aham. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in a basic text, the Bhagavad Gita, that as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. He's reciprocal, that's his nature. He's not lusty, taking advantage. Rather, he's reciprocal. That's the nature of his relationship. As you surrender to Krishna, he'll reward you accordingly. He'll reciprocate. And so, because these 16,108, why 16,108? 16,800,000 in all living entities, in all universes, all of us have a loving relationship with the Lord, and we can discover it as soon as we stop trying to enjoy ourselves, stop trying to understand the Supreme Lord in a lusty way. When we give that up and we render transcendental loving service, then Krishna reciprocates. And there's no limit to that reciprocation. So that's what's actually going on here. That's the transcendental understanding of Krishna's relationship with his wives, with the goddesses of fortune, with the gopis in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And that's a very liberating understanding. We can understand that. Then we can finally, after trillions of lifetimes, give up this material world and find true satisfaction. So that's what's being explained in this verse and by the Lord's display of love with his wives in Dwarka. So does anyone have any questions or comments on these subject matters? Yes?
No, go ahead, honey. Thank you for the nice, enlightened class. My question is, as devotees, we're trying to understand, you're mentioning about transcendental understanding of relationship between a man and a woman. And in the material world, we have a different relationship, but as devotees, we are trying to practice and become transcendental to whatever extent. We hear that Prabhupada talks about, he mentions at least in one place, illicit or licit sex, it's all the same. But then we also hear Krishna saying that sex life that is according to religious principles, that is him. Something like that. And I was thinking that when in this, as practicing Vaishnavas, when devotees are trying to have, are going to conceive children, if the meditation is planned and prepared and thought about that to bring children in this movement, then is that transcendental and yet illicit and licit sex is the same, it's all sex. So I just wanted to hear your comments on that.
I think we have to approach this in a personal way. And Prabhupada was a person. He had his experience, he had his understanding, he has his life, and we have to let him be a sannyasi. And so if he says licit or licit, it's all the same, does that mean that he wiped out the whole varnashram system? And it's not applicable? It's not something that can help us gradually attain the same level as him? When he told Bhakti Chiru Swami, don't get married, are we supposed to take that as instruction for all of his disciples? Or allow him to, should he allow Bhakti Chiru Swami and Srila Prabhupada to have their own special relationship? And so one doesn't necessarily cross out the other. We have to use our intelligence and our personalism in a way to understand. Licit or illicit, the same. Spoken by true great sannyasi and devotee of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada. Does it apply to all of his disciples and all of his other instructions are wiped out by that? Based on your desire, based on your advancement. That's all I have to say. Divyana.
Prabhupada addresses this in the purport where he says, as soon as the male and the female combine, you know, that's when the trouble starts. The material bondage of the living being is at once tightly interlocked. And he says, this is the most amazing thing here. He says that this becomes the illusory field of activities and thus a false but indefatigable attraction for the temporary material existence, which is full of miseries, is manifest. So it's a false, it's completely false, but it's indefatigable. So you're stuck. And then the mercy part is, he says, but those who are on the path of salvation for going back home are especially advised by all scriptural instruction to become free from such paraphernalia of material attraction. And that is possible only by the association of the devotees of the Lord, which is, that's the mercy, by Prabhupada's mercy, by the association of Vaishnavas, we can make progress towards spiritual, toward back to home, back to God, it says. And I remember in Toronto, when a devotee, prominent brahmachari, had accepted a wife, he was going to get married, and Vishvakarma said, the Prabhupada was standing right there, and Vishvakarma said, but he's getting married, isn't that a fall down? And Prabhupada looked at Vishvakarma and quipped, what is the question of a fall down for a fallen fellow? So, and that reminds me of the Rana Damodar thing that you referenced. The Prabhupada said, they were all brahmacharis, everybody was fired up, it's staunch, you know, and Prabhupada said, you'll all be grihasthas. And they're like, what? So, it's always been a major issue. But if you look around, everybody is married. I mean, there's only a handful of celibate monks that can do that. But that's our inspiration, too, to follow. And also another thing on that point about illicit sex or licit sex, I just heard this the other day. Prabhupada said, and I quote, he said, illicit sex, licit sex, he said, legal sex or illegal sex, there is always trouble. And that's a fact. I have personal experience of this in my life. And it doesn't matter how many times you get married and how many times you try to, you know, double down and do it right this time. It's the indefatigable following of a false conception. It's not real, and you're after it like it is. That's where I'm at. That's why we have to chant Hare Krishna every day and read and pray and come to Bhagavatam class.
Thank you. Very nicely put. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a fall up. But, I mean, you're raising these kids. I mean, there's some jiva that's on some journey and you're facilitating. I mean, you're raising these kids. I mean, as nasty as they are. No. You know, there's some jiva that's on a journey and you're facilitating. There's a service aspect to that. And helping to, you know, somebody in this other gender thing that is obviously a big other. Helping them along. I mean, we're engaging it.
Yeah, service.
Yeah, so it's a follow-up, if done properly.
Yeah. Or prevention, or a safety net.
There's one online question, comment, from Mahesh Pandey, who says, Lord Krishna, when he went to Manipur to save Arjuna, when head was cut off and hidden, Lord said if he had practiced perfect celibacy, may his head be present immediately, and head came back before him. I don't know. Very well.
Kuntarashi, my Bhagavatam,